This show is brought to you by earpeeler.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Tonight's episode of Radioactive Metal is dedicated to the memory of Malevolent Creation vocalist Brett Hoffman.
Hey, this is Brody from Rivers of Nile, and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to I Live by the River episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 513, and I'm Snowy White.
And this is Rock. And guess what? This episode is brought to you by Heavy Scotland. Heavy Scotland, you know, it's the big metal festival that happens in Edinburgh, Scotland, and this year is the second year. And you know, if you live in Europe, or hey, if you feel adventurous and you're in the States or Canada and you want to fly to Edinburgh, Scotland to go see this festival, well, here's all the information you need to know. The festival is from Friday, August 31st to Sunday, September 2nd. The shows are Friday evening, Saturday evening, and Sunday all day. Ticket prices, if you want to buy tickets for the whole weekend, is £72. And this is for our friends in the UK. You know, the whole Brexit thing. I don't know in euros how much it is. I don't know in US dollars how much it is. I'm just telling you, it's £72 for the whole weekend. They also have great deals on single days. If you just want to go on Friday, that's £22. If you want to just go on Saturday, it's £27. And if you just want to go Sunday, because it's all day, that's £37. But if you go to their site at heavyscotland.com, they have all sorts of discounted tickets and deals. And like, for example, they have one if you're under 18 years old, you can get a ticket for Friday and Saturday for only £35. They got student tickets for £50 for the weekend. I mean, they've got hotel packages. They've got tons of great deals. So if you want to look them up on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff, all you have to look for is Heavy Scotland in one word, and you will find them. And I know we discussed this a little bit last week when we did the ad last week, Snowy, but they have some killer headliners this year. Killer lineup. So I'm looking at the site right now, and it's trying to load, and there we go. All right. Your headliners this year, Children of Bodom, you've got Carcass, and also you've got Enciferum. How friggin' awesome is that, you know? Besides that, you've got Decapitated that's playing, Bleed from Within, Exhumed, Gamma Bomb, Nervosa, Hate, Corrupt Moral Altar, Ostfront, Sisters of Suffocation, and that you've got some other bands. You've got Perpetua, Defacer, Horion, Martyrium. I mean, gosh, it's a loaded weekend. So I definitely recommend everybody to go. I believe that you're familiar with most of these bands, aren't you?
The ones you mentioned off the hop there, yeah, the quote-unquote bigger names. But yeah, like, I got really excited, like, when you mentioned Corrupt Moral Altar last week. I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Sisters of Suffocation, oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
That's Carcass is great, Bottom is great, Inciferum is great, but the lesser known, quote unquote, those are the bands that would that's really selling this festival for me. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, for me, you know, Carcass is a winner. Yeah, that's you got to see Carcass. Mm-hmm. Exhumed is another one. You know, Gamma Bomb. Yeah. Gamma Bomb is one that I would love to see. Nervosa also, I'd love to see them. So yeah, man, it's going to be a kick-ass festival, and everybody, you need to check it out. HeavyScotland.com and go buy your tickets there.
Right on. Anyone who's going to that, I'm definitely green. Green like the Hulk, for sure.
Yeah, and if any of our listeners go, we'd love to hear from you, you know, either during or after the shows, you know, after you're back home safe. We'd love to hear how it went and what, you know, what you enjoyed and what was great and what was not, and, you know, that'd be cool. So.
Right on. Good idea.
And also, we have our good old friends at True Cult Coffee, once again, who are the co-sponsors of this episode tonight. And, you know, everybody out there knows that True Cult Coffee takes a lot of pride in offering single-origin coffees. There's no gimmicky flavors or mixing in cheaper beans. Just great premium coffee roasted in small batches. They're offering subscriptions now. Monthly subscriptions. You can get a one bag subscription every month or a two bag subscription every month. And if you get a subscription, you can save up to 10%, you know, on the cost. And also, if you get the two bag subscription, you will get some free music. And depending on when you decide to make your purchase, you know, it could be either some digital downloads, it could be a physical cassette. I've seen them give out physical cassettes. You know, I know you're all into the cassettes.
Oh, for sure.
And CDs. So, you know, and also, you know, when you go to truecultcoffee.com, that's TRVEKVLTcoffee.com. Check out their merch, man. They've got cool t-shirts. Always and Forever, my favorite one, will be hotter than a church in Norway.
It always makes me smile.
I know. But they have so many cool shirts. You know, you gotta check them out. But I gotta mention this. No, I don't know if you were aware of this. I know Aaron has mentioned it a few times before he went on his little work related trip here, but he bought some True Cult Coffee and had it shipped to his friend's house in Maryland. And Aaron is not a coffee guy, just like me. He doesn't drink coffee. I don't drink coffee either.
What's wrong with you people? Holy
well, geez. You know, he wanted to try it. So he bought it, had it shipped to his friend's house. And as we speak today, they were doing some tastings on our Facebook Live page.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So, you know, by now, of course, you know, it's been, you know, a week. You know, they did that a week ago by now, when you're listening to this. But go to our Facebook page and go into the videos and you'll find them. I've watched two videos. They did at least two videos. I think they were going to make more. But they did, in the second video, Aaron did something for me. He tried something out for me. Do you remember when I mentioned that I was wondering if you could just take some coffee beans or coffee and just put it in ice cream to get coffee flavored ice cream? Well, he did.
Yeah. And it worked. It worked well. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said he loved it, man. I could tell, man, he really loved it. So they did that. And then the second thing they did on that second video, they did the Canadian Death March. Basically, maple syrup in the coffee. And they seem to have loved it a lot. So I believe they were going to do a few more videos. At this point, as we speak, I haven't had a chance to check because, you know, we had to record. So go check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/radmetal, and go check out the videos. They're pretty fun.
Yeah. And then if you've never seen Aaron before, because this is an audio show, you can see just how dopey he looks.
That's nice of you.
I love Aaron, but it's just like I love ribbing him. But one of the things that's not a rib though is, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned to this. I know I've said this to you personally, Rock. I don't know if I've ever said it on the air. Like when you hear someone on a podcast or like on the radio, the DJ on the radio, you kind of make your own little mental picture of what that person looks like.
Oh yeah,
Aaron looks nothing. Aaron looks nothing like, because I for the longest time I'd only heard his voice, and I had that mental picture. And then when I saw it, like I actually saw a picture of him, he's like, okay, he looks like, he doesn't look like his voice at all.
No, he doesn't.
I'm sure I don't. You were pretty close. Kareen was pretty much bang on, though. Like, Kareen does look like her voice.
Aaron works in the corporate world also, you know, so he's a trainer at a very big company. So, you know, he has to look the part. So he's got short hair and, you know, it's very kind of reserved look, you know, so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So everyone get a chance, check out our Facebook page and see what our good buddy was up to. But what I want to do now is a little special weekly feature here leading up to Heavy Scotland. And how about the Heavy Scotland Artist of the Week? And I had been gushing over this last couple of weeks. I've been gushing over this Sisters of Suffocation band, and you're going to find out exactly why. Let's go with a track called Fuck It off of their Brutal Queen EP. This is Sister of Suffocation.
lead busy metal lives. Find out what we've been up to in our Metal Fix.
Okay, dude, it looks like it's just you and me tonight. As we said, Aaron is off about on his own. Our good buddy Kareen is also sicker than a dog this weekend, which is actually too bad because, as you're going to find out in my Metal Fix here soon enough, I kind of heard from her, you know, just over the interwebs that she's not feeling well. And it's like, oh, no, I'm out at a show. I'm going to have a good time. It's going to be amazing. And I'm not going to be able to rock and roll all night and party every day knowing that our Kareen is sick. So get well soon. But in the meantime, dude, what you got?
Well, usual stuff, podcasts and stuff. Nothing really stood out for me this week. I've been listening to the Sebastian Bach audiobook. Right. I have about 2 hours left of the 12 hours to listen to. And man, it's just amazing. It's just amazing again, like I mentioned. And everybody, audibletrial.com/radmetal. Go do the free trial because it's worth it, where you get to download a book, especially if you can find one that's narrated by the author. It's totally worth it. Go check it out, guys, because you're gonna love it. And this one is just hilarious. He just gets excited about stuff and just starts laughing as he's reading and stuff, and it's just great. And then he does all these little bonus things that he says bonus, you know, and they put a little sound effect and said, "All right, when this happened, well, this was also going on," and blah blah blah, and you know, it's pretty funny. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But my main thing and my metal fix. I did a thing this week. Well, last Sunday.
Uh-oh. When you did a thing. I don't know, man.
Well, off air, Aaron has been bugging me because Aaron is a musician, right? And he's mostly a bass player. And he knows that of my past as a bass player and you know, where I played for about 12 years in several cover bands and stuff. I never really did anything with it. And, well, I did a thing and I bought myself a bass last week.
Woohoo! You go, boy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was, still at the time, it was still the, 4th of July week sale at Sam Ash. And so I got a, you know, a little practice amp, a cable, a strap and everything for 25% off, you know? And then I bought a used Ibanez bass, and because it's just for fun. It's just for me to putz around the house and whenever I feel like it. Because it happens a lot where I'll be listening to a song, I'm like, "Oh man, oh, I want to play that." Oh, or "I used to play that." Oh god! And then I'm kind of doing it in the air, you know. I'm like, "Oh yeah, this is how I used to play it." Oh, but man, whew, I realize the notes are coming back quickly when I listen to songs that I used to play. You know, like Iron Maiden, all that. The notes are coming back. But dude, it's the execution is not there. Woo! the technique is very far behind, so I need to work on my chops. So, but I think
you and Aaron ought to have a bass off live on the air.
Oh, right now he would win for sure.
Like a like on Crossroads, like the movie when they would have the guitar.
Yeah.
Conversation. You and Aaron have to do a bass off.
Maybe something we could do. The thing is that I think I mentioned it last year. It's been a little over a year now. I mean, a year exactly earlier this month. I had surgery on both my hands.
Right.
You know, yeah. So that, you know, that's kind of contributing to me, like, you know, not being able. But then I started thinking, it's like, man, when was the last time I touched a bass? Well, Snowy, it was about 1990. The last time I touched a bass.
Shit, dude.
It's been 28 years since I touched a bass.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, but it's coming back. It's you know, once I had the bass tuned the way I wanted it, the notes are coming back. It's just, like I said, it's the execution that's lacking. So. But yeah, but I've been having fun with that. And that's the most metal thing I did this week.
Oh, it's very metal. Definitely. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Been having fun with that. So what about you?
Right on. Well, myself, first and foremost, since you mentioned podcasts, like I don't talk about all the ones that I listen to because, like I said, that would take all episode. But something jogged my memory to go and check out the latest Henry Rollins podcast, Henry and Heidi. Mm-hmm. Hey, well, it's the latest. It's a couple of weeks old now, and they were discussing the events surrounding the My War album by Black Flag. I don't have. Did you listen to that particular episode?
Yeah, but I'm not familiar with the album. So, I mean, it was cool to listen to, but I'm not familiar with the album at all.
Okay, I don't want to give away too much, but just between you and me, man, the Wasp story. Oh, my God. When he was talking about bumping into Wasp in the studio when they're recording.
Oh, yes.
Wasp was recording the demos for their album, and you know Black Flag are recording their album, and you know, just like the whole interaction that he had with Wasp. Everyone, go check out Henry and Heidi podcast and the latest episode, My War, and all that. Very entertaining. And like I said, we all love Big Hank, but Heidi's the star of that show for me.
You know, I had to stop there for a second when you said the Wasp story, because I went and saw Ant-Man and the Wasp today, so I was in that mode. So like the Wasp.
The Wasp, right?
I'm thinking, is he talking about the characters? Is he talking about a real Wasp? I listened to it the day it came out, you know, the episode. So I was like, so it took me a second to remember what you were talking about.
I dumped a little more further into that whole Wiki Factor Fiction series on YouTube, you know, where they sit down with an artist and they go over all the shit on Wikipedia, because it's all true, you know. It's on Wikipedia.
That's what they're trying to verify.
Well, he sat down. I listened to the episodes with Scott Ian Doyle from The Misfits, Taylor Momsen from The Pretty Reckless, Bobby Blitz from Overkill, and Barney Greenway from Napalm Death. And that was the only one so far out of the dozen or so videos I've watched. The Napalm one is the one that they had, Wikipedia had everything right.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Everything, or at least all the questions that the host asked Barney.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, look at this. Holy shit.
I bet you Barney didn't say this, but he's the one who's been putting in all the information on Wikipedia. That's why it's correct.
It's probably correct, and no one has been fucking with it. Yeah,
just kidding.
For sure. But shout out to Barney. He's a great guy. I'd like to have him back on the show again as soon as we can. Cool shit across my desk. The new 6 Feet Under record, Unburied, is available now. I was cranking that. Don't expect anything out of the ordinary. Like, it's 6 Feet Under. It's Chris Barnes. It's going to be exactly what you expect from modern day 6 Feet Under. Like, those first couple records, I feel, had one kind of vibes, one kind of sound to them, but they just kind of evolved to the point where, okay, this is it. This is the guy's groove, and he's not getting out of it. And I don't necessarily know if that's a bad thing, mm-hmm. you know, because I obviously really dug the record. I was listening to the new Immortal record.
Yes, they're very good.
Yeah. They're also on the cover of the new Disciple, which I haven't gotten into it yet. I picked it up, haven't got a chance to crack it open. But what was really exciting is I buy Disciple every week, every month, I mean, but just the fact that they're on the cover and they're doing it, they're looking good, sounding good, you know, without a bot. So good on horns.
Yeah, if somebody who's never heard Immortal, would be their first album, I would say, yeah, just go with that. It's just as good as anything else they've done in the past, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And the vocals are not that different from, you know, Aboth, so it's
great. Not at all. It is fantastic. Yeah. A couple cool, interesting single songs across my desk, including the new Pig Destroyer track, Army of Cops. That's really getting me excited for the new record coming out in the next couple months. This record is going to take off in the underground. I think it's going to be like a really big deal. As well, a new independently released single from Svengali. Do you remember Svengali?
Weren't they like a little industrial?
No. Svengali in the early 90s, like kind of when glam slash hair was still a thing. Okay,
barely a thing, yeah.
Yeah, the scene was kind of dying down, but Canada actually had a pretty good scene at the time with bands like Big House, Slick Toxic, and Svengali. And of course, Lee Aaron was still doing it, and the Killer Dwarfs were putting out kick-ass records too and all that. So yeah, Svengali was one of those bands from that whole scene in the early 90s Canadian hard rock glam scene. And they're back. They're back with the new single. Like after all these years, you know, like everyone gave up on that type of sound and a lot of the bands disappeared and Svengali was one of the victims of that, but apparently they're back and the new record, like, and it sounds modern. You could probably take this song, Kill the Lies, and just stick it on modern radio. And I think the new audience of today would latch on to this if giving a chance, but just don't tell the new audience that they're actually a old hair band from back in the day, because then still, I don't know about that.
I remember when we were sent the press release, I was like, Svengali, really? Wow, okay. I remember them, but I'd never paid attention to them. I remember Slick Toxic more than Svengali.
So. Right. And I guess Big House was the biggest one out of all of them for a while there. Yeah, good stuff. I'm looking forward to a new record, and I actually, after all these years, you know, actually talking to one of the Svengali guys would actually be pretty cool. On the live front, Rivers of Nile came through town, which we're going to be getting into a lot more about that soon enough. They're always really good live, really cool tech prog death, and bringing them along with them on tour is, remember Alter Beast? We had them on the show a couple years ago when we had that special Unique Leader episode. You know, we had them on while they came back through town, and we had to remind the guys, oh yeah, you were here. We saw you last time. Yeah, I had done the show. They're like, oh, sorry. You know, like you're always touring. If you're always touring, you can't remember everything, you know. Like we do have artists, you know, when they pull up and Ducky and I are standing right there, and they get out of the van and they see us and they just got this look on their face and they go, dudes, you guys again? It's kind of what we do.
We remember you.
Yeah.
Assholes.
That's right. Rounding off that bill on the touring part is the band Inferi. Like, now this was kind of weird. This is a great, you know, they're a tech death band as well. But their name and logo, Inferi, okay, it kind of reeks of black metal. Their sound is tech death. They look like their logo and name screams black metal, and they look physically like a Philly hardcore band. It's really weird. watching them play and thinking, okay, I never even heard of this band before. I never, you know, okay, first time seeing them. Hearing them is when they hit the stage, and it's like, oh shit, this isn't what I was thinking. They're just trying to mess with my head. Yeah, that's it. We're going to show Snowy. Yeah. And then last night, when I stepped out into the wonderful world of the Winnipeg metal scene, because our local boys Inhumed had their CD release party last night. They put out their debut CD, just simply titled Volume 1. Really cool stuff. It was a fantastic show. It was nice to see. You know, the building was packed because it was a Friday night and it was a killer bill, not just with Inhumed, but my good buddies Votov, which include John Duke and Chuck Labossier. Here's two names I've mentioned on the show many times because those guys go way back with me. You know, one of my very first, interview when I was just doing in a different band, just doing a little black and white fanzine and all that. And it's good to see those guys are still doing it and still fucking killing it, man. Right on. And that's, I'm going to cut myself off from here, actually. I got a few more things, but I want to get in to some tunes, and I kind of want to get in with tonight's creature feature. Let's drop the first single from that 6 Feet Under record. This is Gore Hungry Maniac.
Open eyes and I see through you.
liking that. That's Svengali. They're new shite, the new stuff. They're back with a vengeance, baby. That's the aforementioned track, Kill the Lies. Check that out. It's available now up on YouTube and all that. And I don't know where they're at with new releases. I think this is kind of it for now. But like I said, this is independently released. And you know what? If they don't get signed to a label or whatever, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. This day and age, does a band really need to be signed? Like, there seems to be differing opinions about all of that. One band that I am happy is signed and out and about doing it and killing it, both in the studio and live, is One Rivers of Nile. Recently came down. Yeah. Pushing their incredible new record, Where Owls Know My Name. And they've been through town before, and I've seen them and I've heard them and all that. But this was the first time, you know, where I said, you know what, we really should do something with this band now. And this was definitely a good time to do that. So we tapped main man and guitarist Brody Utley for a really cool chat. He gave us the whys and wherefores about everything. And I think, as everyone will see in the interview, I think I threw him a couple questions there that he's never had to deal with before. Every once in a while, you know, I don't like to badger. I'm not looking for controversy. I'm not looking to put anyone on the spot. But I always like to have I like to get my subjects to think, and I like to get them to go, oh, okay, yeah. I didn't know that, or that's cool, or right on. I just like to make their experience with Radioactive Metal every bit as exciting as, you know, they make it for us. To get us there with our chat with Mr. Utley, how about the first single off of that killer new record, From Where the Owls Know My Name, available right now? This is Rivers of Nile with A Home.
So first and foremost, let's kind of start off with the new-ish record, I guess, came out in March, Where Owls Know My Name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what has the response been like, been to that so far?
Really good. I mean, especially considering that it's such a different sounding record for us, you know, we weren't really sure how people were going to react to the new style, new sounds, and new elements, and it's actually been, like, way more positive a response than any of our other records. Like, on this tour, we're playing 5 new songs.
Oh, wow.
And I think that the 5 new songs actually get better reactions than any of the old songs do, which is usually not how it works. You know, people usually have to warm up to stuff, but it seems like people have been really, really digging the new stuff, like, pretty hard on this tour and on the last one as well.
Right on, right on. Now, that the name kind of jumps out at you as something unique for metal and all that, and so that makes me kind of think, there's a concept behind that. There's got to be an idea or a concept behind this.
Well, the name Rivers of Nile was, it was created by our singer, Jake, back in 2009 when we formed. I guess, like, his original, like, idea for the name Rivers of Nile was more or less kind of just like a reference to kind of like the human condition where, you know, like a river, you know, the human race, the human condition has, you know, this immense potential for life because, you know, it's got all these, you know, like, as in a river, you know, all this potential for life. It can go wherever it wants to. It can, you know, create life or shelter life or whatever. But oftentimes, you know, because as human beings, we're, you know, messed up by nature, I guess the Nile part comes in, so it's kind of like rivers of nothing, mm-hmm. meaning like lost potential. He's got a couple different ways that he's explained it, but really all it's supposed to mean is rivers of nothing, but Nile, you know, the Latin word for nothing. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's really up for anyone's interpretation, but I think that was his original idea with the name.
Right, right. And it's a wicked play on words too, because yeah. you know, the Nile, it's not the Nile's not just a river in Egypt,
yeah.
you know? So it all works out really well. When I first heard the name, it's like, that is really clever.
Cool.
yeah. This is full length record number 3
mm-hmm.
with Metal Blade.
Yep.
Okay. And for all 3 releases. So it's like, I'm going to assume you guys are quite happy with Metal Blade and they're quite happy with you guys at this point.
Yeah. They're awesome people. I mean, we've become real good friends with some of the people at the label, you know, just like a really honest, good group of people to work with. Not, you know, you hear a lot of rumors about like the music industry and shady characters and mm-hmm. people, you know, wanting to, you know, screw bands over and, you know, all that. But Metal Blade's definitely very much like a family kind of label, you know, like good people. And yeah, we're real happy with them. And I guess they're real happy with us because they, you know, haven't kicked us out yet. So we're still here.
Right on. Were you fans of a lot of their artists kind of growing up?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, going back to like, you know, the earliest days of like when Brian Slega was doing like the Zine thing, you know, him being good friends with like Lars Ulrich from Metallica. You know, Metallica, if you really want to think of it this way, I mean, Metallica's earliest stuff was put out by Brian Slagle, you know, so, mm-hmm. but anyway, yeah, of course, you know, we're big fans of all their bands, you know, whether it's, you know, Behemoth or Black Dahlia Murder, Between the Bear and Me, Job for a Cowboy, you know, just Cannibal Corpse, obviously, you know, we all grew up, you know, really liking those bands, grew up buying the DVDs, the Cannibal Corpse and the Black Dahlia Murder DVDs, and, you know, we saw all these people working at Metal Blade, you know, that, you know, we're being interviewed on these DVDs, and now those are the people that we work with, you know, on a daily basis, so it's pretty cool, definitely.
Definitely, yeah, and I imagine how many of these bands that, you know, as a kid growing up, like you said, you mentioned all these names, have you played with a lot of them now?
Yeah, I mean, we've played, well, I don't know if we've played with a lot of them. I mean, we've played with Cannibal Corpse before. We haven't played any shows with, the Black Dahlia Murder, but we have played beer pong with the Black Dahlia Murder for Metal Sucks. So, depending on how you look at that, but yeah, I mean, so yeah, you know, is that okay? Or?
Uh, if it gets too much, we could.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, yeah, I mean, we've played with plenty of Metal Blade bands. You know, we haven't played with Behemoth, we haven't played with Black Dahlia, I haven't played with BT Bam, but a lot of the other bands on the label we have played with, definitely.
Right on. With this full-length record, number three, I don't know if you've noticed this, and I don't want to throw any, I don't want you thinking about it too much, I guess, just in case, like, oh my God, I never thought of that, but record number three for an underground metal band, it can be make or break time.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about Master of Puppets, when you think about Rain and Blood,
yeah,
like, you know, these are records, record number three that made the band. Did that enter your head going into the writing and recording process of this record?
I mean, not really. I mean, we try to, you know, we're self-aware, you know, to a certain point, but not to a point where it's going to like influence how, you know, our records end up sounding. We want it to sound like whatever the band, wherever the band is at mentally at that given time. So, no, I think we actively were thinking like, oh, this is our third record. This is it. You know, this is our chance or whatever. But I think, you know, in hindsight, I think in a way it kind of happened naturally. You know, this record was like, you know, we charted on the billboards and, you know, we sold over twice the amount of, you know, the copies of the records that we sold first week on either of our first two records. You know, it was like a pretty big jump for us. So, I don't know if it's a, you know, a career defining record. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I mean, it's definitely, you know, it was definitely a much bigger response than either of our previous two records. That's for sure.
We'll see in about 5 years.
Yeah.
We'll have the same conversation and you're going to go, yes, no, you were right. This was on Raven Blood. Right?
Yeah. I wish. I hope so.
Yeah. And with that, doing a little bit of research, and also when I found out, okay, you're going to be speaking to Brody Utley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was doing a little bit of research and all that. And in that, I remember also from my childhood, another Utley and all that, but there is also some other somewhat famous Utleys as well. I don't know if you've ever heard them, but back in the early 1900s, there was a rather famous British soccer player.
The only Utley that I know, and it's spelled differently than mine, is Chase Utley from the Philadelphia Phillies. But he's spelled Utley. I'm Uttley. But if they were British, maybe I'm related to them because that's where my family came from. So, hey, you never know.
And also, what immediately jumped out at me is when I was a kid, there was an American sitcom called The Newhart Show.
Okay.
And one of the characters was George Utley.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so now that I've got this in your head, you're going to...
Yeah, I'm going to do research now.
You're going to end up... That immediately jumped on. I was just kind of wondering if that ever...
No. I've gotten, you know, Chase Utley, because I'm, you know, I'm from the Philadelphia area.
Oh, okay.
So, and he's a Philadelphia Philly. So, like, everyone's like, oh, like, Chase Utley? And like, no, but I've got... And, like, you know, what is it? You know, Dr. Brody from Jaws. My first name is Brody, so, you know, I've gotten that before. But no, I've never really dug too deep in my last name history. Maybe I should do that sometime.
Who knows? Yeah. Ancestry.com.
I should do that. Yeah.
With the talk with sports and all that, any interest for there?
I played soccer, baseball, basketball growing up. I played baseball pretty seriously until I was in high school. I still really like baseball, but, you know, I just haven't, you know, played it, you know, since then. I'd love to get back into playing it just for fun with some friends. And, you know, I'd love to watch it too, but I don't have cable. We just do the streaming thing at my house. So, like, I don't, you know, see the live baseball games. I'd probably watch them if I did, because, I mean, we have in Philly, you know, we have the Philadelphia Eagles who won the Super Bowl last year, you know, so, like, some hometown pride brewing in Philadelphia. I'd love to start watching baseball again, but I'm just like so busy with other stuff, you know. But I think eventually, maybe one day when stuff calms down and, you know, I have some free time, I'd be totally interested in getting back into baseball for sure.
Right. With this band, okay, like when like a lot of band members, they have their main project and then this band and this band, and they jam with this one and all that. But you seem quite dedicated to Rivers. Is that was that just a conscious decision on your part, or just I'm going to throw myself into this and I'm going to do it right? Damn it, you know.
Well, I think that for me personally, anything that I write, I always kind of write it with the mentality of like Rivers first, you know. You know, I do most of the songwriting in the band, so like pretty much most of the records are me musically. So yeah, I like pretty much dedicate all my music to the band. You know, and being that I'm like the main musical dude, I don't know, it's an easy thing for me to do. I don't write any of the lyrics or anything like that, but you know, some of the other guys are in other bands. I mean, Jared, our drummer, is in like 7,000 different bands. He's in a band called Flub. He's in a band called The Undying. He's played with Psychosomatic. He's played with Cyborg Octopus. He's played with he's so many bands. And then our bass player Adam, he's in a kind of like a prog band called I forget what they're called now, but they were called Origins, but I guess they're working on some music. But yeah, for me personally, I don't really have any interest in doing stuff, at least in the metal realm, with any other bands. If I did play in another band, maybe it would be like a blues band or something, because I do like blues a lot. And just
to kind of expand the horizon.
Yeah, just something totally different. But yeah, for now, it's just all Rivers and Nile. It's easy for me to do. I don't really have any desire to go elsewhere at this point, so
right. And like we said, this was record number 3, but you've been around, no doubt. There's not much you probably haven't done so far, but you're still relatively young.
Yeah.
So do you see yourself, how do you see yourself? Do you still see yourself as like a young gun, or I've been around long enough that maybe, you know?
I mean, I still see myself as like a young guy, but I think that no matter how old you are, you see yourself as a young guy. So I don't know, I guess, you know, I think it, you know, it depends really. Like if we're on a tour where we're like on a big tour with like a veteran band, you know, and we're opening, you know, I feel like a kid, you know. But if we're like headlining a tour, you know, maybe I feel a little more my age, you know. Like on this tour, like we're headlining and we have to be the end of the night thing, so we have to kind of act our age, whereas, you know, on some other tours we might clown around a little bit, you know, when we have the play earlier and then you have the rest of the night off, so it's not huge pressure or anything like that. But yeah, I don't know, I guess I generally feel my age, but you know, getting older every day is just something you can't avoid.
So I guess just by default, almost, you're the veteran on a tour like this. Do you get some of the other bands that maybe haven't been around as long as Rivers looking for advice, or
sometimes, you know, not like these guys have inferior and Alter Beast, they're both pretty like experienced touring bands, so like not from them, but some other, you know, younger bands that we've toured with, like definitely like we'll help them out with, you know, merch stuff. Like we have a pretty cool merch system, like how we like keep track of our orders and our like payments and stuff, and you know, we'll, you know, teach people about that, or teach people about like tricks with like, you know, audio stuff or like guitar rig stuff, or you know, just little tour hacks, you know, if there's like a younger band that, you know, asks for advice, like yeah, we'll definitely, you know, help out whoever we can. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Right on. Pass it down. Pass on the information.
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
Right on. In here, we'll let you get on with your evening. What's going to happen the next 365 days for Rivers?
Well, we got a tour in September, September and October, with Revocation, Exhumed, and Yalcha. Yeah.
Well, that's how you pronounce that.
Yalcha.
Been looking at that word for how many years now?
Yeah, Yalcha. I think it's Yalcha. And then before the year's end, we will probably be doing some stuff overseas, but I can't really talk about that quite yet.
So. Fair enough. Finally, say hi to someone. Anyone.
Hi, Caroline, my girlfriend. I love you.
So on tour now, be sure to check out Mr. Utley with his band Rivers of Nile. And like I said, in the Metal Fix, really cool bands that they're also taking on the road with them. And while you're there, just go up to the merch booth, throw down a couple bones, and grab Where the Owls Know My Name, because that's a killer record from a killer band. And this has been a killer episode, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, you know, at the top of the show, unfortunately, it was that time. We lost one of our own in Mr. Brett Hoffman from Malevolent Creation. That's really too bad. Cancer. He succumbed to cancer, 51 years young. You know what? That's not much older than we are. Vinny wasn't much older than we are. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's rough. It's rough. So I'm going to give a little personal plea to all of our listeners and all of our friends and everyone listening to this. Yeah, rock and roll. It's all sex, drugs, and rock and roll and all that. But, you know, it takes a toll on you. And I'm not saying this is what killed those two gentlemen, but, you know, let's play the odds. I want all of those beautiful faces out there in the metal scene, out and about, for as long as humanly possible. So if you don't mind, I think we will pay tribute to Mr. Hoffman by going out with their latest record, Dead Man's Path. We'll drop one of the singles. How about Blood of the Fallen? So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been I Live by the River episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
Signing off.
Don't quit your day job, Snowy.
At radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review.
Listen to us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.